With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for hanging out with me on the Danny Parkin Show. CBS Sports Radio, radio.com sports, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage, 855-212-4227. It is a NFL postgame show, basically, for week 6 in the NFL. However, crazy ALCS game. Astros even the ALCS, one game apiece. Carlos Correa walks it off. Mammoth home run in the bottom of the 11th. Astros defeat the Yankees 3-2. It wouldn't be baseball without controversy. In the last inning, there was a... It didn't impact the outcome of the game. Houston was bad, and Correa ends up taking deep anyway. But there was a phantom foul tip call where the batter kind of sold the ump on a foul tip to stay alive. Ends up having the ump have a makeup call. Next pitch, probably 5-6 inches off the plate. Strike three, battered out. But you're going to hear calls for robot umps and the review system in Major League Baseball after that sequence. Absolutely brutal job by the home plate umpire. Incredible celebration, too, when Correa did the Hulk Hogan hand to the ear as he was starting to head towards first base, listening to the crowd and his teammates in the dugout give him all sorts of love as he just hit the walk-off shot. But this is the ALCS that most of us wanted, and this is good for baseball. This is good drama. And baseball just, man, I have a love-hate relationship with baseball. It just can't get out of its own way for stupid stuff. Now there's a story that the balls that are being used in the postseason are not the balls that were used during the regular season, and there's unfounded speculation that Major League Baseball is doing this deliberately because they don't want the home runs to be up in the postseason like it was in the regular season. Like, there's no proof whatsoever that that is happening deliberately here, but the fact that that's even a plausible story is so embarrassing for the game. It's the equivalent of when the NFL couldn't define what a catch was. Really? The whole sport is throwing and catching a ball. Seems kind of important to be able to define half of that action. The sport is called baseball. You can't figure out a uniform way to make all these baseballs the same? It's baseball. They're baseballs. Feels like that should be step one. The drag coefficient, these laces are up, these laces are down, this is wound too tightly, the ball's going further. It's nonsense. And I'm all for home runs. I'm all for runs being scored. But you shouldn't have 1 year the ball's one way, 1 year the ball's the other way. It changes midway through the year. It's different at AAA. It's a stupid controversy to have. And it takes away from the quality of your game. So, ALCS, tied at one, little bit of controversy because, you know, baseball's gonna baseball. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to your calls in a little bit. Last but not least, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to your calls momentarily. Interesting day for survivor pools yet again. If you guys are in elimination pools, Ravens and Patriots were probably your top two this week, but obviously we're getting to the point where a lot of the good teams have been used. Cowboys were the fourth most picked team in my survivor pool, eliminated. Chargers were the sixth most picked team in my survivor pool, eliminated. Chiefs were tied for the sixth most picked team in my survivor pool, eliminated. Packers, the third most picked team in my pool, still going tomorrow night, and they're only a 4-point favorite. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. There have been some bloody Sundays the last 3 weeks. Weeks 4, 5, and 6 have been gruesome for survivor pools. About 60-70% of most pools at this point have been eliminated. So if you're still alive in your elimination pool, nicely done. Also, if you rode out the wave with Stephon Diggs in fantasy and you kept starting him week after week and you knew that that was a soft matchup against the Eagles' banged up secondary, nicely done. I like to shout out my degenerates a little bit. If you were sweating the over in Sunday Night Football coming into the back door, if you were worried that Phillip Rivers was going to take a safety to hit that over at 42 when the under was clearly the right side to be on and you were there the entire way, nicely done. Just know that your boy doesn't have Stephon Diggs, wasn't on the total in this game, and already had advanced in Survivor, but I see you out there. The beauty of the NFL is the sweat. Yeah, it's the best viewing product on television. Yeah, they've perfected the schedule. Yeah, it's football at the highest level. But also, it's the most forms for our degeneracy. Season-long fantasy, daily fantasy, survivor pools, point spreads, confidence pools, super contests. It's the best. Sweaty day, week 6 of the NFL season. 855-212-4227 is the number. Speaking of the Chargers, let's go to Canada. Chris, you're on the radio.com app and CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man? Hey, Chris, you there? Chris, going once, going twice. Gone. Put him back on hold. See if he's there. Let's go to Georgia. Anthony, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man?
Doing good, Dad. I was agreeing with what you were saying about the Falcons, about keeping Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. My thing is they need to change the coaching, because when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, they were playing ball. They had Shanahan. When Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, they were playing some football. And when he got to the Super Bowl, they thought they had him. They thought they had the Patriots. And all of a sudden, they flapped out. Now, all of a sudden, they got offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And then the Falcons offense not doing well. And then all of a sudden, now the defense not doing well. The way I was listening to the game on the radio, it was ridiculous. Like, how in the world that the way both sides does not play ball?
Well, I mean, the offense came around today, but the Cardinals' defense is pathetic. So if you guys didn't score today, there would have been some serious problems there. The problems are more, honestly, it's you guys are just figuring out new ways to lose every week. It's the sign of a team that is just not well coached. I'm sorry to say it. I'm sorry to simplify it, but you're not well coached. You got to get a better coach because you got to save the rest of Matt Ryan's career. Matt Ryan is still good enough to win big with. We saw that last year. I didn't think he was, but he is. Matt Ryan is fine. He's not the problem. It is the coaching that is the problem of the Falcons.
And I don't agree with that. It's not Matt Ryan's fault. It's whoever in charge, whoever's above him, they have to figure out, okay, we got to figure out a way how to stop this defense. We got to have some guys who can match up with the defensive line and the linebacker, because everybody's looking for Matt to do everything, but Matt can't do it all by himself. He got Julio. Julio was doing good, and all of a sudden he starts dropping balls. But my thing is, I think that I'm. This is my opinion. It's like the head coach is under the hot seat.
Oh, of course, man. Listen, I appreciate the call. Of course, he is. He's going to be the next coach fired. It's just a question of when. There's no one else even in contention, unless Jerry Jones gets crazy with Jason Garrett. But now that Jay Gruden's gone, there is no other candidate for next coach fired. It's going to be Dan Quinn. Because, I mean, let's just think about disappointing teams in the NFL this year, right? Steelers are disappointing. We know they're not firing Tomlin. And nice win today for the Steelers. So they're what? 2-1 in their last three. So that, I mean, they're not firing Tomlin. Bengals are 0-6, but first year coach, so he's not getting fired. Flores 0-5. They're not trying to win. First year coach, he's not getting fired. I mean, what other option even is there now that Gruden's gone? I guess it could get real ugly for Shermer in New York, maybe. But no. I mean, Dan Quinn's the guy. Dan Quinn will be the next coach fired in the NFL. It is simply a question of when it happens. Alvin in Florida is on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up, Alvin? Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. If you go back to Al Davis, Jerry Jones is the only coach that never voted against Al Davis. He wants his own art shell. He wants Jason Garrett, his puppet, to be his protege. That is why he's the way he is. He wants to make his own player. And I'll let you get off on that. Also, I'm going to ask you, is he the reason why Drew Pearson is not in the Hall of Fame? Jerry Jones. Thank you.
I don't know the answer to that. I have no idea if Jerry Jones is the reason why Drew Pearson isn't in the Hall of Fame. I will say that it feels like there are some cracks in the foundation with the Cowboys, who have lost three in a row and only beaten bad teams this year. Jerry Jones is starting to be asked questions that are uncomfortable. Because now, I was really honestly hoping that the Cowboys would win today and that the Eagles would win today, so that Cowboys-Eagles on Sunday Night Football next week felt big. And it's still a rivalry game, and they're still tied for first in the NFC East, but neither one of them feels like a contender. I was hoping that both of them would be 4-2 and winner goes to 5-2 and feel like a legitimate contender in the NFC. I said it before the year, I like the Eagles more than the Cowboys in that division. I just think the gap at coach and quarterback is so significant. But the Eagles have been decimated by injuries and earlier in the season drops. So the Eagles to me are, I mean, today they got their ass kicked. There's no sugarcoating that, but they're still so banged up, especially on defense, that I don't think that we've seen the best of what the Eagles can be. In fact, I might even look into buying a little Eagles futures ticket. Probably get the Eagles at, like, I would imagine double-digit-to-1 odds to win the NFC after they lost today. Probably get them at like 10-11-1 to win the NFC. I don't think that's a terrible bet. I think the NFC is wide open. Wide open. Every show in the world is going to do the who's the best team in the NFC tomorrow. You'll get your Saints picks. You'll get your Niners picks. You'll get your Packers picks. It's wide open. Packers have a chance to make a nice little statement tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. Those are probably the three teams, but let's see here. 500 and above. NFC, Philly, Dallas, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, Carolina, San Francisco, Seattle, the Rams. 11 of 16 teams in the NFC, 500 or better. That is a brutally tough conference to handicap. 855-212-4227. In L.A., George on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up, George?
Hey, Danny. I really enjoy your show. I appreciate you, man. It's been a rough week in L.A. with the Chargers collapse, now the Rams collapse. And I don't know. I used to, you know, protect golf, but now I don't know, man. He missed a wide-open guy at the end of the game, you know, a very easy touchdown. And he just seems to – I don't know if he's shell-shocked or what's going on with him, but, I mean – 0 for third downs and 74 yards career low. Danny, something's wrong.
Yeah, it is a I'm with you. I am with you completely. We talked about it earlier. Thank you for the call. Goff is regressing, and Goff is about to become the poster child for what happens when you pay an average talent elite money, because it's going to be tougher and tougher for the Rams to build a complete team around him. And the blame's not going to go to the boy wonder head coach, and it's not going to go to the skill position players that we know are good enough. And The defense has not been very good, but that's a team that's supposed to be built to score 30 a game. Goff has been horrible his last 12 games. Fumbling, interceptions, no big plays. Not no big plays, but fewer and fewer big plays. He has been downright pedestrian in a great situation. He's been Dak Prescottian. And I think Dak's the next guy that's going to get overpaid, who was dealt pocket aces and is just playing it like a mediocre ABC poker player. You want to pay elite talent at that position because the money is so astronomical now that it's worth it if they elevate everyone around them, like Russell Wilson, like Pat Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, like Carson Wentz. Those are young quarterbacks that you pay. We got to wait and see on Baker Mayfield. We got to wait and see on Lamar Jackson. We got to wait and see on Kyler Murray, obviously. He's just a few games into his career. Goff, looks like they might have thrown some big money after mediocre. Not a good spot to be. Not a good spot to be at all. I'll tell you who I think the best team in the NFC is at this moment coming up. It's not who the majority think it is. I can almost guarantee you that. And we'll take more of your calls on a Week 6 postgame edition of the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
Thanks for hanging out on the Danny Parkin Show. Just looking ahead for Survivors next week, Week 17. You're going to have a couple of big spreads in your Week 7 schedule. Patriots will be a big favorite against the Jets, but that's in New York. Niners will be a big favorite in Washington. But the biggest favorite on the board will be the Bills at home against the Dolphins. Looks like that's going to open at 17 points, Buffalo favored. My guess is the Bills have not been used by many people in survivor pools. My guess is Buffalo gets picked in by 80% of the remaining next week. That's what I'd guess. Best team in the NFC. Most people will say it's the Saints. And the Niners are undefeated and made the biggest statement of Sunday. That's the best win for the Niners franchise since the 2013 divisional win over Carolina to send them to their second straight NFC championship game. That was a very impressive win, holding Jared Goff to under 100 yards passing when he had over 900 in his previous two games, coming off of a short week on Monday Night Football when they played the Browns, and a extra week, extra rest for the Rams when they're at home, when they played Thursday Night Football the week before against Seattle. That was the biggest statement of the day. But I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC. I think it's close with them and the Saints. And obviously, Breeze coming back makes New Orleans a lot better. And the Packers' defense got gashed by Philly 2 weeks ago. And Dallas put on a lot on them in garbage time. And if Amari Cooper didn't drop one early, that game maybe would have been a little bit different. So I know their defense isn't completely rounded into form yet, but it is getting better. And Aaron Rodgers in a real offense is still unbelievably scary. And Matt LaFleur is running a modern NFL offense there. And Devontae Adams doesn't sound like he's going to be out for long. Sounds like he's going to be out for tomorrow, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be out for long. But Aaron Rodgers now has the two best things a great quarterback can have: a modern offensive play caller and a running game. And when's the last time Aaron Rodgers was able to actually use play action? Aaron Jones has been so good that I think that Rodgers is only going to get more and more comfortable in that system. And I think the ceiling for Green Bay's offense with Aaron Jones running like this, Rodgers' comfort in LaFleur's system, and Devontae Adams coming back sooner than later. I mean, think about this. Devontae Adams had 10 catches for 180 yards when he was hurt and then has been sitting out since then. So I think they're getting ready to fire on all cylinders. I think Green Bay is a very scary team in the NFC. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Chris in Alabama is on the Danny Parkin Show. Hey, Chris.
How you doing, Danny?
Good, sir.
It's a good evening. This new game, week seven, week six, is finally over.
Week six ends tonight when Packers-Lions is over. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I have two teams I want to bring to you, my Rams and my Saints. First, my Rams.
Wait, you're a Rams and Saints fan?
Yes, sir.
How did you experience the NFC Championship game last year and that blown call?
It was honestly when both those teams made it. I told everyone that it was going to be the game to watch, and it honestly tainted the game. And honestly, basically screwed that whole game. But that's not the point. Bring it back to two things I'm talking about. So what has happened to with the Rams? Because they are so loaded and so ready for a Super Bowl run. It's crazy.
Listen, we talked a lot about Goff and his regression, but also the defense has not been good. I know Talib is hurt, but he wasn't good when he was playing. Peters had an interception today, but the defense has been gettable, and Jared Goff has not been ready to win shootouts. So it's been a bad combination, but I don't think it has anything to do with your offensive coaching or your offensive skill position players.
I'm not going to skip the Saints. As far as the Saints, I still think, I honestly believe that the Pope himself addressed the Saints. I think they're honestly ready for a Super Bowl run. But
yeah, I do too. I appreciate the call. I think the Saints, the fact that the Saints keep winning without Drew Brees and with Teddy Bridgewater's limitations, and Teddy Bridgewater is a great story, but he's got limitations, right? Check down artist, doesn't take risks, doesn't throw the ball down the field, not very mobile. He's replacement level at best. But their defense is getting real. Holding Dallas to 10 points, holding Jacksonville to 6 points. Even holding Tampa to 24, frankly, based on how they had been rolling. Their defense is on a really, really nice run. So you give Drew Brees a running game, which he has with Kamara and Latavius Murray, a true number one in Michael Thomas. You give him the Superdome, which is probably the best home field advantage in the NFL right now, if we're being totally honest, in terms of toughest environment to play. I know Rodgers has the best winning percentage at home going back to 2007. I know beating Brady in Foxborough is ridiculously tough. Seattle is loud. Arrowhead's loud. But if we're talking environment for a big game, like where's the toughest place to play if it's Sunday night football and the Saints and the home team needs a win, right? Like, let's use that barometer. Sunday night football, home team needs a win. Where's the toughest place to play? I think Superdome is probably my number one pick. But Saints are, they've got more talent defensively than they've had in a while. Cameron Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, DeMario Davis, Eli Apple. They're just solid team. Marcus Davenport, not going to send a whole bunch of guys to the Pro Bowl, but just solid defensive team, and that's more than enough with what that offense is capable of doing. We'll get to last but not least coming up.
This is the Danny Parkin Show. With time running out, we still have a few questions we didn't get answers to. Danny Parkins gives us his thoughts on a couple of different stories in this week's edition of Last But Not Least.
Thank you very much for hanging out on the Danny Parkins Show. You can always follow me on Twitter at Danny Parkins, including where you can see the video of the high school football highlight of the year, where the dude in California intercepts the 7-yard out, and instead of running 30 yards to the end zone for a pick six, he runs 60 yards in the wrong direction and gets tackled from behind by his own teammate. We had a lot of fun with that earlier. It is a video that honestly just makes me smile. But before we pass the baton to After Hours with Amy Lawrence, there are stories that we are not able to get to because, you know, the ALCS and Week 6 in the National Football League. But that doesn't mean they're not worth discussing quickly. Ryan Hickey's my executive producer. He asks the questions, I give the answers. What's up, Ryan? What's first?
What's up, Danny? So we'll start with a poll ESPN ran of 25 NFL general managers asking that if they had to win one game, which QB would they take? So the results were Tom Brady was the winner with 14 votes. Patrick Mahomes finished second with 7 votes. Russell Wilson got 2 votes. And then Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees each had 1 vote. So what do you think of these results?
I think they're idiotic. I saw this and I don't know when the polling was taken, but Tom Brady is not close to the best quarterback in football anymore. So assuming the question is, what quarterback would you have to win one game, and you just get that quarterback, but you don't get Bill Belichick and you don't get the Patriots defense and you just get that player, right? I've talked to enough NFL evaluators, scouts, and general managers. Like, their job is to isolate and evaluate individual talent within the scope of the ultimate team game. That's why it's so hard, right? In baseball, it's a team game, but it's really a series of individual matchups. Batter v. pitcher, fielder by himself. How does he defend third base? Whatever the case may be. In football, individual performance within a team game. You cannot tell me that you would take Tom Brady over Pat Mahomes or Russell Wilson. That's insane. Or Aaron Rodgers, frankly. Brady is the most accomplished quarterback of all time. He is perfect between the ears, but he's physically declining. He's 42 years old. It's not a knock. It's a fact. Father Time's undefeated. They're still the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but you're telling me if the Detroit Lions need to win one game, the best quarterback to do that is Tom Brady? No chance. You would take the most talented quarterback, which is Pat Mahomes or Russell Wilson. And by the way, how Ben Roethlisberger got a vote, that if I assume that was Kevin Colbert. Like, I assume the Steelers general manager voted for his own guy. That was a ludicrous story that I just don't know how you could be watching this current version of Tom Brady and think that he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's not. He's got the best chance to win a Super Bowl. He's got the best coach. I think their defense is very, very good. But they've played absolutely nobody. But that poll just, it defied logic in so many ways. And these are the smartest football minds in the world, in theory. They didn't say, like, we polled 30 members of 30 teams. Like, they polled every general manager. These are the guys running NFL teams. And someone said they would take Ben Roethlisberger? That's just absolutely insane. What's next?
So it took 7 weeks, but we finally got an upset in college football. On Saturday, South Carolina went between the hedges and beat number 3 Georgia 2017 in double overtime. Now your new top 4 in college football is Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State. So halfway through the college football season, how would you handicap the playoff race, and who's the best team so far?
Okay, so finally we got an upset. I'm with you. That was necessary for, I think, most of our sanity in terms of watching this thing every week and, frankly, being invested in the season. Because I was talking to a buddy of mine who loves college football, and he was saying how great of a season it's been because we don't know who's going to win the national championship and we don't know who's going to win the Heisman. But what I said to him is, I don't worry about that until late in the year. Earlier in the year, I like great games. I like great upsets. When you have the good non-con games and the power teams who match up each other, I want to see great games and great upsets, and we haven't gotten any of that until this week. I think that LSU is the most impressive, right? They won at Texas, and they beat Florida. So no one else in the country has the caliber of win of LSU 2 times over. So in the truest sense of the word, like evaluating the 2019 season on the 2019 resume, I think LSU has the best resume through six games. And I really don't know how you could debate that. Would I make LSU favored over Alabama on a neutral field? No, I would not. Would I make LSU favored over Clemson on a neutral field? No, I would not. The knocks that people have had on Clemson because they've sleptwalked through a couple of these games, I kind of shrug my shoulders at it because it's the defense is actually statistically as good or better in almost every category as they were through the first half of last year, and they put five guys drafted into the NFL. It's the offense that's been sleepwalking. The defense looks awesome, and it's a bunch of new guys who are new starters who are trying to prove themselves. But it's understandable why you'd sleepwalk when you're a 28-point favorite in every single game. Clemson came out after their bye and absolutely destroyed Florida State because they were motivated to prove a point. I feel like Clemson, they brought back four of their five offensive linemen. They brought back their top three wide receivers. They brought back their number one running back. They brought back their quarterback, who is the most talented QB in the country. They brought back the coaching staff. Like, if you gave me Clemson in a big game and Clemson's going to get up for it, I think that they would beat every team in the country. So in terms of the playoff, the teams that I would want to see there are Bama, Clemson, LSU, though they've got to play Bama, so one of them's going to get a loss. And then whoever has the better resume at the end of Oklahoma and Ohio State. That's how I'd handicap it right now. Best team with best resume is LSU. Best team on terms of who would I bet to win against anybody on a neutral field, I'd still bet on Clemson. Because, yeah, this version hasn't looked as dominant, but they're the same team that blew out Bama in the national title game last year. They did First Take from Clemson's campus this week. Stephen A. Smith asked Dabo Swinney. It was totally inane. And I actually am not a Stephen A. Smith hater, but it was an absolutely inane premise. He said, "Are you worried that you could go undefeated and be left out of the playoff?" There is a 0.0% chance that that would happen, and there's a 0.0% chance that that should happen. Because, A, we've learned that these other teams, people are going to lose. So it's not going to happen that there are five or more Power 5 teams that are undefeated. But if it did, you would really think that you should hold out Clemson, even though, say, you're only supposed to evaluate this year's team and this year's resume. Okay, you're going to keep out the defending national champion on a 30-game winning streak at that point when it's a committee of human beings that have to go on eye test. That's ridiculous. So Clemson 1, Bama 2, LSU 3, and then whoever has the better resume of Ohio State and Oklahoma for the playoff, but best resume of 2019 are the LSU Tigers. What's next?
So in baseball, we just watched a classic ALCS game finish. Game 2, Carlos Correa walks off in the 11th inning as the Astros win 3-2 and even up their series at 1 against the Yankees. NLCS, you had two great pitching gems from both Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer as the Nats are up 2-0 over the Cardinals Game 3 tonight in Washington. So through two games each series, what's your World Series pick?
Houston, Washington is what I want to see. I hate the Cardinals. I think Houston's the best team. I like in sports when I don't have a real rooting interest. I enjoy seeing the best team make it. I don't love the randomness of baseball. Like, I want to see the best teams that have earned it over 162. And then the pitching matchups of a Nationals-Astros World Series are just incredible. Strasburg, Corbin, Scherzer, Grinke, Cole, Verlander. A Nationals-Astros World Series would be absolutely incredible. So I'm all the way in on a Nationals-Astros World Series. I think the Astros are going to make it. I think the Astros are the best team. I think they're going to win. But I'm also up for a seven-game classic ALCS because the Yankees are damn good too. But my pick is the Astros over the Nationals, and that's also what I'm rooting for. Give me the last one.
So we'll wrap up with this. Outside the Lines broke a very detailed story on the death of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Eric Kay, who is the Angels' director of communications, admitted to federal investigators he provided oxycodone to Skaggs and abused it with him for years. He also said that at least two team officials were told about Skaggs' drug use long before his unfortunate death back in July. So how earth-shattering are these revelations?
This is a huge story. It's not a surprising story, but it's a huge story because once you actually have people on the record, federal investigators, and then obviously a tragic death where now we know cause of death, it's going to bring, or at least it should bring, the national conversation of the opioid crisis in this country into sports. I've always thought, and this is not just because I'm closer to these guys in age than a lot of people in the media, but I think it is underappreciated, if I could generalize, by the public how prevalent recreational drug use is among pro sport athletes. I remember how surprised people were that Jose Fernandez had cocaine in his system when he was involved in that fatal boat crash. You know, like he was starting 2 days later. It's like, yeah, there's not recreational drug tests at the major league level in baseball. Like, I feel like people just don't know the drug testing policy. Once you're on the 40-man, you don't get tested for coke, weed, any of that stuff. So it's just, it's rampant. And like, there was fentanyl in Skaggs' system. It's found in counterfeit Oxycontin. It was involved with Prince's death and Tom Petty's death. Like, you know what I mean? This is serious stuff. This is high profile stuff. And athletes who feel invincible, who have a ton of money, who like to unwind, high stress, want to party on the road, access to the best doctors, the best everything, it can get out of hand. And this guy who's testifying, the director of communications, who himself has been in rehab for pain pill addiction, he talked about how five guys on the team that he knew of using pain pills. That's 20% of the 25-man roster using prescription pain pills without a prescription, illicitly. It's a serious, serious problem in our country and in sports and in society, because sports, as we know, are a reflection of society at large. So yeah, it's a massive, massive story. Ryan Hickey's the executive producer. Thank you to Ben Volen and Mike Meltzer, who are the guests today. Peter Schwartz for the updates. Everyone in New York here in Chicago for keeping me on the air. Amy Lawrence coming up next. My name is Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.